Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning and welcome in across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network worldwide or wherever you're listening to us in Richland Center, Wausau, Avery, or on the stream, perhaps Facebook, perhaps Twitter. Wherever you are, welcome in and thank you for being with us. Hour number two of the Todd Albaugh Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network coming up at 6 past the hour of 9 o'clock. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. And you were saying during the break there, Aaron, isn't it kind of refreshing to have a Republican just say some of the truth? I mean, it's not that difficult.
Yeah, it turns out it's not that hard to just, when somebody is outright lying, causing an insurrection, just causing all kinds of mayhem, it's not that hard to say, hey, that guy's an idiot and doesn't represent my values.
Exactly. Not exactly former State Senator Dale Schultz's words last hour, but essentially,
right,
yes.
Those are my words.
Right. But yes, yes. I mean, not that hard to say, do you believe the 2020 election was fair? Yes. Do you believe it was an insurrection on January 6th? Yes. Would you support Donald Trump? No. Not that hard, as it turns out. And only if we had a few more Republicans with that kind of courage. But Dale Schultz, very interesting guest. We'll have that up on the podcast. Aaron will have it a little bit later. So if people want to go back and listen to it, they certainly can. Before we get into this hour's topic, a quick update of weather and news across the state of Wisconsin. If you are in beautiful Amory today, expect mostly sunny skies, a high near 25 today. Heading on down towards Wausau, cloudy and a high near 32. And in southwest Wisconsin, WRCE land on WRCE in Richland Center, expect cloudy skies and a high near 38 degrees. Weather system coming in for a little bit later in the week on Thursday. Some places south of Wausau may pick up several inches of snow. However, that storm track has not yet been determined, so keep it right here on Civic Media. We will keep updating you as that weather system moves forward. But if you have plans to be on the roads later on this week, keep an ear to your radio. Headlines at this hour, it's election day in the runoff race for U.S. Senate between Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker. After an impressive early voting period, voters in Georgia will head to the polls today to cast their ballots in what is expected to be a tight race. Conservative members of the Supreme Court appeared to side with a graphic designer who does not want to work with same-sex couples on their wedding website. The conservative justices suggested that an artist or someone creating a customized product could not be forced by the government to express messages that violate their religious beliefs. The flu vaccine appears to be a very good match to the strains currently circulating, that according to the CDC. They say that vaccinations, though, are lagging behind previous years, so make sure you get your flu vaccine if you are in need. Overseas, Russia launched a fresh barrage of missiles towards Ukraine on Monday as it accused Kyiv of striking military airfields deep inside its territory. The attacks cut off water and electricity supplies in some areas amid freezing temperatures. Still 30,000 people without power in North Carolina today after a power grid was attacked by gunfire in what is being characterized as a possible domestic or international terrorist threat or attack. Customers in Moore County have been in the dark since Saturday evening and after the substations were damaged by gunfire. Closer to home, the state legislature's most prominent supporter of overturning the 2020 election result has launched a campaign for the state Senate just weeks after her Republican colleagues in the state assembly banned her from meeting with them privately. Republican State Representative Janelle Brandegen of Menominee Falls launched a campaign Monday to replace State Senator Alberta Darling of River Hills, a longtime Republican lawmaker who retired from the legislature's upper house last week. Kirstie Alley, the actress known for her Emmy-winning role on Cheers and films like Look Who's Talking and I Would Add Star Trek II Wrath of Khan, has died after a brief battle with cancer. Her children announced on social media Kirstie Alley was 71. And in sports, the Bucks beat the Magic 109-102 last night. It's Giannis' birthday today. Happy birthday to him. The Packers say they want Aaron Rodgers back next season. Of course, who doesn't? And the football news for the Wisconsin Badgers, Miles Burkett, the true freshman, could begin his era as quarterback for the Badgers when they take on Oklahoma State, we should say, in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl on December 27th. a great story by Aaron Flood, or Evan Flood, rather, today in Badgers 24/7, kind of profiling Miles Burkett. And it turns out he's probably going to be the starting quarterback in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl later this month because Graham Mertz has announced that he is going to enter the transfer portal and be gone next year. And so we will be seeing. And, of course, Chase Wolf is a senior. So, really, why would you put him and have him have the experience when he's not going to play again? So it looks like Miles Burkett may be the guy with the football. Also, yesterday was announced that the Oklahoma State quarterback, who's been expected to be the starter, he's also entering the transfer portal. There's like 900 college players right now. There you go. They've all beamed out. There are like 900 college players right now in the transfer portal. I mean, so you can just basically put together your own team again if you go to the transfer portal. So we shall see what is happening there. Coming up after the break here, we are going to have a longtime reporter in the state capitol, Matt DeFore, who is now with the who's now the state bureau chief for Wisconsin Watch. He is going to be in with us talking about a subject that I have had a lot of experience in over the years with my former boss, State Senator Dale Schultz. That is gerrymandering. And Dale, a former Republican, or current Republican, but former state legislator, along with Democrat Tim Cullen, tried to introduce in their last term together in the early 2000s there, early 2010s, a bill, a bipartisan bill to redo gerrymandering. It never happened. What's the story behind gerrymandering? Matt DeFore is in next to tell us all about his article and give us some updates. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Radio Network. It is 15 past the hour of 9 o'clock. Ask and ye shall receive. That is the motto here on the Todd Allball Show when it comes to music and our fine producer, Eric Zommers. Just tell us. Tell us what you want to hear, what you want to be introed with, and Mr. Zommers will find it for you. We are joined this hour by someone I've known for quite a while through my activities in the Capitol, working for legislators, Matt DeFore, who is now with the state, now the state bureau chief for Wisconsin Watch, joins us, and there you go, Matt.
Todd, great to be here.
Nice to have you. Tell us what that fine song was.
That was the national anthem by Radiohead off of their what some consider the best album of the aughts.
The aughts. Are you a big Radiohead fan?
I'm not a huge Radiohead fan. Like, I've never seen them in concert. I'd love to, though.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Some does screen. Include Aaron Zommers, in case you were wondering.
Oh, really?
As far as that being their best album in that time period.
I just think it's funny. It's like, people were saying this is the best album of the 2000s. It came out in 2000, so it was a bad decade for music, I guess.
It hit its peak early and then burned out.
Right, yeah.
that was... I had a friend of mine went to a Rainbow Kitten Surprise. They were in town this weekend. So it was a fine concert as well. So I don't know a lot of their music. I know some. But anyway, we're not talking about music necessarily, but we never know here on the show where things are going to go. Matt, you were with the Wisconsin State Journal for many years. That's kind of where we first met when I was working for Dale Schultz, and you were covering politics for the state of Wisconsin at the Capitol. This year, you took on a new gig and moved over to the Wisconsin Watch. Tell us a little bit about that journey and what Wisconsin Watch is.
Sure. Well, I was at the Wisconsin State Journal for 16 years. I was education reporter, county reporter, and then eventually a state government reporter, which is where we met, Todd. I remember having great conversations in Senator Schultz's office with you about just, you know, kind of the nuts and bolts of state government. And, you know, then I became the state politics editor for 4 years there at the State Journal. But then this year, the Wisconsin Watch, which this was founded more than a decade ago by Andy and Dee Hall, was the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Investigative journalism, it's always been really close to my heart, something I've always wanted to pursue, as I did, I think, with some important investigations when I was covering state government. But this opportunity came up. They created a new position, State Bureau Chief, and I think of this as a really important position. We've got a lot of great political reporting happening at the state level. A lot of it is very day-to-day. A lot of it's very, it's covering all of this news. I mean, we're still I think of us as the center of the political universe in the nationally. We have so much happening in Wisconsin. And I think we need to have reporters who are focused on investigative reporting. Newsrooms are seeing their budgets shrinking. They're losing the ability to do those kinds of investigations. And so I just wanted to make sure we had a really strong presence of investigative reporters in the State House. And so, in September, I took this job at Wisconsin Watch. And so far, I've done a few stories. And today's the latest has come out. One thing I wanted to mention about Wisconsin Watch is, again, it's investigative reporting, which means we really want to dig into issues in the state that people view as problems. This isn't about, one side or the other. It's not about Republicans or Democrats. It's about what are the issues that are affecting real people and what kinds of solutions can we find to those problems. And so today's story, I think, is trying to show that, gerrymandering is a pretty big problem in Wisconsin.
Before we move to the story, I just want to one more point on Wisconsin Watch and why I think it's so important. And it's one of the reasons that I was excited to take my current gig here at Civic Media, because we did 3 hours from Richland Center on the closing of the campus on last Friday. Not many radio outfits or large conglomerates would allow one of their hosts to go and spend 3 hours on one topic for to do a long-form radio show like that. To me, kind of the print equivalent, I still call it print, but for the writing equivalent is Wisconsin Watch. And I mean, I know for those people who don't know, at the state capitol, there is a press room, all right, in the capitol, where most of the press reporters have a desk. And you learn very quickly, when you're a new communication guy, when to walk into that room, let alone walk in with a press release. Because there are certain times of the day or certain days of the week where everyone there is with the cutbacks that the cutbacks that happened while I was there at the Capitol. Folks are under enormous deadlines from editors and in very short time spans to pump content out. And oftentimes, very good reporters are given very little time to delve into things through no fault of their own, not because they're not great reporters, but because they're just not given time by the companies they work for. And to me, Wisconsin Watch is allowing great reporters like yourself to delve in and do this long-form reporting via print or electronic digital. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're trying to do the deeper stories. I mean, I've been there for 3 months. I've done three stories, which would be crazy in a sort of a corporate-funded newsroom where you do have to churn, you have to put out articles, you have to get hits on your website, you have to try to generate that interest daily. And I mean, there's a lot of great reporting happening in the Capitol. Don't get me wrong. I think Molly Beck is a fantastic reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You got a lot of young reporters, a lot of turnover there. I know Patrick Marley had been there for a while. He's now at the Washington Post. But, we're really lucky in Wisconsin to have folks like Scott Bauer and Todd Richmond from the Associated Press. The fact that we have two AP reporters here in Wisconsin, I think that provides a lot of great daily and contextual coverage from all those great reporters. But we need people who are able to do these deeper dives, and that's what I'm hoping I can bring.
So the story that appeared here online, I've gotten through part of it this morning. I haven't gotten through all of it, but the headline is, Wisconsin's assembly maps are more skewed than ever. What happens now? Gerrymandering continues to present a problem for Democrats and democracy in Wisconsin, but Republicans are unlikely to address the issue anytime soon. What prompted you to want to do this in-depth story on gerrymandering specifically?
I think this is one of those issues. I mean, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I think of myself as an independent. Like, I think a lot of voters in Wisconsin, considering how the election this past month went, consider themselves. And, this is an issue that I think a growing consensus of people, both on the Republican, Democratic, independent sides, all agree is becoming a bigger problem. And the story was a little weird because I wanted to do a deeper dive into the numbers. You hear a lot about things like the efficiency gap. You can calculate the efficiency gap. We did that for this election. It shows, empirically that this is the most gerrymandered state. If you look back at 50 years of elections, the 2018 Wisconsin election was the fourth most gerrymandered election, you know, based on the results, based on how many votes both sides got, both based on how many seats that translated to. And again, 2018, Democrats won all the statewide elections, but the Republicans controlled like 61 seats and, you know, 62. So this year, it's now 64 seats. And again, there was the split's pretty much even. We know that from the statewide elections. So the efficiency gap this year is even bigger than it was in 2018. And as fun as it was to calculate that, it's kind of like a, well, no kidding, because you can just tell that from the 64 seats, that the fact that the Republicans almost have a 2/3 majority in the legislature, and yet we know we're a 50-50 state based on the statewide elections. So
let's, for those people who might not know or understand, because I think, you know, people like you and I who kind of live and eat and breathe this stuff all the time, we get it. But I think for a lot of people, they hear the term gerrymandering and they're like, yeah, it has something to do with drawing lines or whatever. But let's just kind of, you know, I once was in a courtroom one time for a friend of mine I worked for. I'm not an attorney, but Judge Weissman from Tennessee. And he once said, you want to put it down there where the chickens can get at it. Is that it? So let's kind of put it down there where the chickens can get at it. Just walk back for a second, if you'd be so kind. Explain to people what gerrymandering is and how it happens, first of all.
So gerrymandering is when politicians draw the lines every 10 years to benefit their own party if they can and disadvantage the other party. And I think one of the big misconceptions about gerrymandering is that it's all about the shape of the maps, because that's, you know, when we think about the word gerrymandering, it comes from a politician, I think Eldridge Gerry, or I think it's Gary, yeah, actually, yeah, but yeah. Whatever. It's GIF, GIF, whatever, we don't know. But Eldridge Gerry in, you know, the 1800s had drawn these maps, I think of Maryland, that, you know, you can kind of see how twisted they are. And so a political cartoonist said, oh, you know, this is maybe they said gerrymander at the time. Yeah. We don't have any audio, so we don't know. But we've come to use the term gerrymander to refer to that process when the politician just basically draws the maps to benefit their side and hurt the other. But what we saw in 2011 was something a lot more sophisticated. All across this, you know, the country, you know, Republicans had this strategy to win legislative seats in 2010. I think it was called Project Red Map. Mm. And then they were going to then use, you know, again, somewhat more sophisticated technology, but I don't know how much of a difference that made. But they basically did what we refer to now as cracking and packing. Mm-hmm. So the way you can think of, there are great maps out there, you can find them online, where you can see how you can take a, you know, like 100 squares, and you can divvy them up into, like, let's say, 5 districts. Mm. And let's say it's a 60-40, either way, red, blue, blue, red, doesn't matter. But there are ways you can draw those boxes of districts, you know, so 20 squares per, you know, into these 5 districts, mm. where you can actually get the party that has 40 people statewide into a majority proposition by getting some of those districts packed. So having, like, for example, 9 red squares and 1 blue square, that disadvantages the red team. Mm-hmm. Because all of their people who are over 50%, that's wasted votes. Like, they don't, you know, 9-1, you know, the politician who controls that district loves it, right? Because they don't have to fundraise. They don't have to do, they don't have to care at all. I mean, maybe if they have a primary challenger, which we're seeing that happen, but that politician likes that because they get an easy skew district. That's called packing. Mm-hmm. But what happens in those other districts, in order for that 40% team to get the majority of seats, they have to crack the other districts so that they win 3-2 in the majority of the districts. So they're winning all these 3-2, or I guess it would be in 20, if it's 5 seats, whatever. The majority they get by a smaller margin.
Right.
So in Wisconsin, we can see plenty of examples, both in 2011 and in 2021, where Republicans who drew the assembly maps packed Democrats into places like Milwaukee, and they packed them into places like Madison, and they cracked them in places like Sheboygan, which is one of the places I went and visited. I actually went to Sheboygan on election day. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of get to test the temperature there of, you know, how despondent are the Democrats? Because the Democrats actually controlled a seat in Sheboygan from 1959, I think, until 2011, they controlled the assembly seat there for all but 4 years. Mm-hmm. I think when Joe Lipum had it for 4 years in the early 2000s, right around the time that Kid A came out. So the Democrats we know they have a majority of people in Sheboygan. Tony Evers won that city by 11 points. Mm-hmm. But in 2011, the Republicans split the city in half. They put half the city, well, not exactly half, but part of the city in one part of the rural parts of Sheboygan County, the other half in parts of rural Sheboygan and Manitowoc County. Mm-hmm. And so now you have two Republican seats. And they did this in other places. We saw this happen in the Milwaukee suburbs. Mm-hmm. They split up seats outside, you know, around Brookfield and Wauwatosa. And sure enough, Republicans won multiple seats. But then over time, as the Democrats got more seats in the suburbs, the Democrats started winning those seats. So they changed those lines again to win seats back.
We're going to come back and talk more about gerrymandering, more about the article on Wisconsin Watch with Matt DeFore of Wisconsin Watch. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back on the show more often just to pick out the music. Wow, we've upped the music game. Matt DeFore from Wisconsin Watch, who is the State Bureau Chief of Wisconsin Watch, joins us this morning on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9:33. Looks like a nice day as far as weather across the state of Wisconsin. Richland Center, you can expect cloudy skies, a high of 38 up in beautiful Wausau, clouds and a high of 32, and mostly sunny and a high of 25 in Amory. Snow on the way a little bit later in the week on Thursday-ish, so keep it tuned here. Looks like most of the accumulating snows will be south of Wausau, but we shall see. Matt DeFore is here. We were talking about gerrymandering before the break here. And just to clarify, Matt, this is required by law every 10 years. The legislature looks at the census info, and they are required by law to redraw the lines of the legislature and Congress districts, congressional districts, due to population. Because the key is, or the goal is, to have equal representation as far as numbers go, so that each district has roughly the same amount of people. So they can't not do that. They have to redraw the lines every year. What we're really talking about here is how they draw the lines, and is it really done fairly?
Right, and it's not that they have to gerrymander every 10 years. Right. They have to redistrict every 10 years because of population growth. And so, yeah, the lines have to change.
And you were talking about, I was in the last time that I was working in the legislature for former Senator Dale Schultz, and this was done, was 2011. And I remember it very clearly, and I can speak directly to the how much they dive down onto these is information, because there were big computer programs, and actually the Republicans set up an office kind of outside of state government at a law firm across the street in the Capitol Square, and they require, at least on the Senate side, they required each sitting Republican senator to come in and sign a non-disclosure form before they were allowed to see their proposed Senate district. In other words, take a look at it. Is this what you want? Because if not, we could just change it for you.
I think your boss actually broke that story.
He did, because he refused to do it. And I remember he came back to the office, and I said, well, how did it go? He goes, I don't know. I didn't look, because they wanted me to sign a blankety-blank non-disclosure, and I said, forget it. And he walked out. He wouldn't do it. He was the only one that didn't do it. But I mean, this is how kind of incestuous this whole process is, that you have political operatives drawing these maps with high-end computers and software, going down to the street level and carving out houses in order to keep people in power. And to your point, this is, you know, Republicans are in control right now. But Tim Cullen, a former Democratic majority leader and a colleague of Dale's at the time, they introduced a bipartisan bill to change this. And former Senator Cullen said, hey, you know what? Democrats did this too. So it just happens that Republicans are the ones that are in power right now. And how do we get out of this? And you kind of address this in your story today.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of how do we get out of it, there's different ways you can do it. You could do nonpartisan commissions or have a nonpartisan agency draw the maps to take it out of the hands of those really, you know, again, technical experts that the parties can hire. So we have states like Iowa that I think has their, like, kind of their equivalent of the Legislative Reference Bureau drawing the maps. And, you know, again, that's a state which it's got Republicans in statewide office. They have just elected their largest majorities and their Republican majorities. Again, I keep wanting to emphasize the idea that this is not a partisan thing.
Right.
There are so many Republicans who have voiced support for nonpartisan drawing of maps. And in Iowa, the Republicans control the state house, and they, you know, they have the majority. The problem comes in when you have a state like Wisconsin, where you have a Democratic, you know, majority in the governor's office. The, you know, the governor won 51-48, but then you've got a 2/3 majority almost in the Republican side in the legislature. That just, there's a disconnect there between the lines that are drawn representing and reflecting what the people actually want.
And let me just give a shout out here, because I'm a former Republican, I left the Republican Party, but you know, I try to call out both sides and give props to both sides where I see fit. Well, let's take a second here to give a shout out to former Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in California, who, you know, when he was governor and Democrats controlled the state legislature, they didn't want to change either. Well, you know, it's a once in a lifetime probably thing that happens. Number one, California has the proposition rule where you can go directly to voters and pass legislation. But he had enormous name ID, popularity, and wealth, and he paid to go around the state and get this out there. And they basically created the same kind of citizen nonpartisan commission in California, largely due to Arnold Schwarzenegger's popularity.
Terminated.
An even more interesting example is that in Michigan, they just elected Democrats to the legislature, majority in the legislature, for the first time since the 1980s. Mm. And that was after a citizen-led referendum put an issue on the ballot back in 2018 to do nonpartisan map drawing. That commission drew new maps in 2021. Those maps were in effect for the 2022 election. And the Democrats, you know, after Republicans have been in control for decades, now have a majority for the first time in decades. And again, it can go either way, because again, this is not about benefiting one side or the other. It's about when parties have this much control over the process, they use it to their advantage.
So let's get into the story a little bit, and let's pick up this point that you're making, because I think that Democratic voters get frustrated. And the narrative, I mean, you saw it a little bit in the Republican or on your story today. Again, if you want to watch or if you want to read the story, go to wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org. Matt DeFore's story today on their website. Wisconsin assembly maps are more skewed than ever. What happens now? You interviewed Republicans, and I think it was Robin Voss or somebody said, well, you know, they had the opportunities to win, but they just didn't, they weren't speaking to rural voters, and that's why Republicans won. Well, that's a bunch of horse hockey, right? Because it's the way the maps are drawn. I mean, there were more Democratic voters in the state of Wisconsin the last two election cycles than Republicans, but yet Republicans control the legislature overwhelmingly. The only logical explanation for that are skewed maps, yes
yeah,
or no?
But I think the word overwhelmingly is important, because this is not about let's get nonpartisan maps so we can get Democrats in power. This is about let's just have fair maps,
right?
So that we can't. I mean, even if you're a Republican, you would want there to be fair maps so you can't be questioned by the decisions you make when you're in the majority. You talked to Ken Mayer, who's a UW Madison political science professor. You know, he did a study on the geographical argument. So the Republicans say, oh, it's because the Democrats pack themselves into Milwaukee and Madison. Mm-hmm. That's why you can't draw maps. Right. You know, you're gonna have to draw all kinds of squiggly lines all over the place to make this any more fair. That probably accounts for a 2 to 3 point advantage Republicans. So even if you had nonpartisan fair maps, you might still see Republicans majority just because of the geography, but not a 15, 16, 17 point advantage. The other point that the Republicans like to make is, oh, well, we have better candidates. Democrats run socialists out in the outstate parts of the state, and so therefore they're never going to win. They need to connect more with the voters. I mean, you had in the 73rd Assembly District this year, you had a candidate who said, you know, that the Republican Party is a thing of the past. This is a Republican running. You know, the Democrats had dug up all of her tweets showing that she was a January 6th, you know, 2020 election truther kind of person. You know, she was just, I mean, that's who they're putting out there as. this is the better candidate. You know, this, the person who's basically, you know, I don't know. The 73rd is interesting because I did an analysis that showed if you took the voting that happened in this election and used and applied it to the old lines, so that if you basically had the district basically the way it was, the Democrat would have won that seat.
Yeah.
They moved it 3 points, and the Republican won by 2 points. So, you know, again, this can become a game of inches, especially when they're trying to win a two-thirds majority.
What I hear, we're talking with Matt DeFoor from Wisconsin Watch, the state bureau chief there, who wrote a great piece today in WisconsinWatch.org on gerrymandering. What I hear, Matt, from a lot of my friends from Donna Monroe and Richland Center and Shawano, Wisconsin, when I talk to them, they say, Todd, why, you've been in politics, why do we always get these people? You know, I don't like the people really far to the left anymore than I like the people really far to the right. Why can't we just have people that listen to us? And I try to point out that a lot of this is because of gerrymandering. The districts basically require that the most hyper-partisan person on both sides win. Explain that to people.
I think that can be a long-term consequence, is that as you have safer districts for one party or the other, it's no longer about holding the center for the people who win. It's about appealing to the base. And once you have these base elections where it's all decided in the primary, you're not arguing. I mean, this gets back to the idea of, you know, do we want a more centrist state or do we want these sort of hyper partisans who can't agree on anything? And, you know, again, people, I quote the late, great Bill Krause, who's a Republican in the story, you know, talking about how these safe districts are a problem. We had, In the 2000s, in the aughts,
yes.
We had you know, while Kid A was blasting out, you know, we had on average, you know, it was more than 20 seats within 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
In the 2010s, after this gerrymandering, that went down to about 11 points on average. I'm sorry, 11 seats. So we had more than 20 seats in the 2000s that were within 10 points. We had 11 seats on average per cycle in the assembly, closer than 10 points. In this election, 8 seats were within 10 points.
Wow. Look at the current race that we're going to have down on Southeast Wisconsin. Senator Alberta Darling in the 8th Senate District retired here last week. There is a Republican primary. No Democrat has announced yet because this seat has been drawn like that. I told the story last week. I remember when Alberta was first running in 94, 95, whatever it was, and Michael Ellis was dressing her down in a coat closet because she was pro-choice at the time. Yeah. Alberta Darling was a moderate Republican, a pro-choice Republican, when she got elected in the mid-90s and finished up as one of the most conservative state senators because that's the way they drew her district.
Yeah, I mean, there's no mystery with these elected officials being far to the right, far to the left. There's never going to be that old... We talk about how back in the days of Dale Schultz and Tim Collin, it was like lawmakers getting together and having drinks and dinner and all that stuff, people talking to each other. I mean, there was a more common identity among Republicans and Democrats back then. There was not that. People complained, I remember back then, about, oh, there's no difference between Republicans and Democrats. Well, I guess we solved that problem.
So, sure did.
But we're getting the more extremes, and the extremes can't agree. And when one side's in control, they're going to have more extreme policies that the other side hates even more.
What was the thing in your story today on WisconsinWatch.org on gerrymandering, after your investigation and in writing this story and listening to people, was there something that surprised you, even after all of your years of working in the Capitol of politics? Was there something that you learned that you didn't know before?
I think the thing that was surprising about this was, to some degree, the... I mean, let me give another number example that, sure, I didn't realize. Somebody pointed this out to me, but if you look at the 10 closest races that Republicans won and the 10 closest races that Democrats won, the average margin of victory for Democrats in the 10 closest races was about 15 points. For Republicans, it was about 7.5.
Wow.
So again, it's the cracking and the packing, sort of illustrated by a lot of different ways. I also, you know, I didn't know much about multi-member districts. And that's something that, you know, we talked about solutions. There's been studies done that multi-member districts might be one way to address this. Because part of the problem is, again, people being locked in these districts where they're not represented. And so if you had a different system where more minority voices were represented, you might get closer to that 50-50 split in the legislature with more diverse voices.
We have about a minute before the next break here. We'll bring you back for one more segment after the break. But do you remain hopeful? I mean, sometimes I think, you know, reporters, you know, the more you learn, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, what can actually be done? But are you hopeful after doing this story that things can change?
I'm not hopeful because I think the entrenched powers, there's no mechanism for the people to intervene like there was in California, like there was in Michigan. I talked to Nancy Wang with the Michigan group that had move that ballot initiative, and she was like, I don't know what you guys can do. I think you guys are kind of, she didn't have a solution because without a popular avenue to undo what the politicians have done, the people have very little chance of affecting change.
There is a Supreme Court race for Wisconsin Supreme Court coming up in the spring. When we come back, we'll touch on that a little bit because that may be, as my old boss Dale Schultz liked to say, sell them hope. There may be a little bit of hope if we can change the Supreme Court. We'll talk to Matt DeFore, State Bureau Chief of WisconsinWatch.org. When we come back, you're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back to DJ Tunes with Matt DeFore. That's not what we're going to call the show now. But welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are talking to Matt DeFore, the State Bureau Chief and curator of great music as well. Not just politics and journalism, but good music.
Modest Mouse is great. Yeah, I love it.
We're talking about a story that he wrote for Wisconsin Watch. It's called Wisconsin Assembly Maps Are More Skewed Than Ever. What happens now? You can read the entire article. And the great thing about this story, Matt, is you have maps and graphs, which I'm a big, huge, I'm serious. I love that because it makes a guy like me be able to understand it.
Maps, thanks to Ballotpedia. But yes, I did the one graphic too. That's some Excel mastery right there.
It's well done. You can read the entire article on WisconsinWatch.org. That's WisconsinWatch.org. And give it a read. Some very fine journalistic work. Before the break, we were talking about is there any real hope? But I guess we have to kind of disseminate between long-term and short-term hope. And I guess short-term, we have the Supreme Court race coming up in the spring, which will control the balance between conservative and liberal on the state Supreme Court. And what's really driving this election on the Democratic side or on the progressive side is the hope that if a progressive could get elected to the court, that then a lawsuit could be brought. And the hope it would be to overturn the earlier decision to get some of these lines drawn more fairly for more representation.
Yeah, I mean, I think the lines that were drawn this time around, it was a pretty complicated process. It was so complicated, in fact, I didn't fully get into it in this story. I just kind of said, okay, that's been written about. Let's kind of move on here. But, you know, the way that the lines were drawn, the current Supreme Court decided that they had to use a least change method for drawing the lines, which was kind of pulled out of thin air. Yeah. There's not really a constitutional or legal requirement that they not change the lines much each decade, and they've actually changed them quite a bit in past decades. So it's a little bit arbitrary, and it was a little bit suspicious when we knew we had that 2018, you know, fourth most gerrymandered in history map, and then the Supreme Court, which is, you know, again, 3-3 with one swing vote, usually conservative Brian Hagedorn, they were like, well, let's not change it too much. Right. And then what was even more suspicious was then Tony Evers was like, okay, well, then we will do maps that have the least change. And the Republican maps, they didn't change them from what they had proposed. But those maps, if you look at some of those maps that we show on the website, they changed quite a bit. And they changed quite a bit because it benefited Republicans. It helped them both in the 73rd Assembly District, and it helped them secure that 13th Assembly District in Brookfield. And so the Republicans had proposed maps looking to gain a couple extra seats, and the Democrats were like, no, let's keep them pretty much what we had, which is, you know, 61's better than 64 or whatever. And so so we had these Supreme Court decisions. They end up going with the assembly maps, even though they were least change. And it just felt very like, you're just looking for the solution that, you know, benefits your side.
Right.
And, you know, there's all kinds of legal argumentation in between to get there. But, I mean, that's really what it looks like from 10,000 feet. And a new Supreme Court, yes, they could change the maps. They could. There could be a challenge. But, again, that's not going to happen. They don't seat a justice until August 2023. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have less than 9 months, basically, to get that figured out before you got to have candidates running 2024. So you may not have a solution in 2024. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what can they do? Can they create new laws? I don't think so. Can the Supreme Court set a limit for how much can be gerrymandered politically? That might be what they decide to do. But then you got to decide, well, which metric do you use? Which system? And there's all kinds of arguments for and against different ones. I mentioned the efficiency gap earlier, but, you know, the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court calls that, you know, sociological gobbledygook. So, you know,
that's the point, right? You said, even if you get a decision at the state Supreme Court in your favor, if you're progressive, then it can ultimately go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, yes and no. That it's possible, but the U.S. Supreme Court in the last decade basically punted on this. They basically said this is not something that the U.S. Supreme Court's going to make decisions on, even after a federal appeal or a federal judicial panel had said Wisconsin's lines are an illegal political gerrymander. Mm-hmm. They said the district court said that. This. Mm-hmm. That still left it open to the states. So presumably if they stick to that, stare decisis, foreshadowing, if they stick to that, then they will not intervene in a state Supreme Court decision. However, if the state Supreme Court honors stare decisis, then they might, which, you know, again, members like Ann Walsh Bradley have, you know, defended in the past.
Sure.
They might say that lease change is perfectly fine and the maps that they decided in 2021 are perfectly fine because they decided it. But I think there's a lot of unknowns still.
You spent a lot of time on the ground, which, again, I have to finish reading this story after the show. I got about halfway through. But you spent a lot of time with folks talking to real people. What's kind of your takeaway just in having conversations with people? How much do people really understand about gerrymandering? And do they really care, the average person, the average Jane and Joe?
I talked to a guy in Sheboygan who was not even sure who his state lawmaker was. And this is a guy who knew the community pretty well. I guess I don't want to give up who this person
sure.
was. But, I mean, you know, he knew the community well. He's a longtime resident there. Didn't really know who his lawmaker was, at least when I asked him initially. I think he looked it up later. But, you know, it's like people don't get that state government matters in their life.
Yeah.
And this was a surprising finding. You asked about this earlier. There's been research done showing that the Republicans do a better job of winning state legislative races than
sure.
Democrats. And what we found, I did an analysis of this, Tony Evers did better than the Democratic Assembly candidate in 79 out of 89 races where there was a Democratic candidate. Tim
wow.
Michaels did better than the Republican in only 4 races.
Now that is interesting.
It's huge because it illustrates how well Republicans have done at building this sort of state power. And, you know, again, this is not a total knock on Republicans, right? It's like this is what they've been focused on. Their head's been in the game. You know, they're winning.
Right.
They're winning where it matters on the field. So,
and I think that Republicans are better, even if it's inaccurate or based on lies, they're better at creating a narrative.
I mean, think about the narrative too. This person did the analysis showing that showed nationwide. This isn't just in gerrymandered states, mm-hmm. by the way. Nationwide, Democrats do worse in down ballot races. Her theory was that, you know, Democrats have focused on federal elections, on
right.
federal power. This is kind of built into the ideologies of conservatives and liberals, right? And Republicans have focused on state power.
As Tip O'Neill once said, all politics is local, right?
That's right.
I mean, it really is. Matt DeFore, the Bureau Chief of the WisconsinWatch.org. Thank you for being with us. Great having you here. Great picking out your music. What's next? What's the next big story?
Oh, I wouldn't want to give it away now,
right,
but
right.
we are looking more into voter fraud in the state and
cool.
how much it's being prosecuted.
Go to WisconsinWatch.org. That's WisconsinWatch.org and look at Matt DeFore's story today on gerrymandering in the state of Wisconsin. Matt, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Todd. Awesome.
My pleasure. Stay tuned. We'll have more next for you. Our final hour on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'll float.
down on.
All right.
Don't you worry, we're all